Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
So you and Mark Grody shared a room in rehab?
We didn't share a room, no.
He had the room after I had the room.
Get a room, you two.
This house, it was a big, nice house.
Beautiful in the woods.
Yeah, I had only two people sharing the house with me when I was there.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I had a bunch of heroin addicts with me.
Yeah, well, we had it. We both knew Eric.
Yeah, poor Eric. Yeah.
We're from Alcoholics Anonymous.
What's your name?
Well, we're anonymous.
He got kicked out.
Yeah, you're not allowed to buy heroin.
It seems like a good rule.
We called the house Bushwood because it was country clubbish.
Wow.
And they said, they really kicked Eric out. And I said, in Judge Smale's voice, without hesitating,
let's face it, son. Some people simply do not belong.
Grody moved out on a Friday afternoon, I believe, and I moved in Sunday afternoon into his room. I took his room.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You want to go do karate in the garage?
Yep.
That's so beautiful.
Grody was here, etched into the wall.
I don't like it here. I'm tired of being afraid all the time.
I wanted to stay longer.
They have group therapy in rehab. One day, a new guy came in the group, and he sits down. And Angie goes, why don't you tell the rest of the group what brought you here today? I kidnapped my best friend's baby and sold it for angel dust. Then he sat down. That was followed by the longest pause in the history of man. Then this is exactly what the counselor said. Angie took a sip of coffee, and she goes like this. Artie, feedback?
Yo! Saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, new in the afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Yes, we are. Thanks for being with us. McNeil and Parkins on The Score, brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire.
I never, in a 12-step meeting, heard a story like the one Artie Lang just articulated there. Anything that bizarre?
Yeah.
Stealing the baby of a friend and selling it for angel dust. But one of the dangers of spending time in those rooms is listening to some of the horror stories people tell. Because you start to think, when you listen long enough, maybe I wasn't so bad. Because
That's not the intention, I imagine.
You want to remember your basement. You don't want to look at a bunch of people like, I don't belong with these guys. You did what?
Yeah, and because I imagine the idea is, like, you don't, if someone else has a worse horror story than you, the goal is not to get to that place, right? As
right.
opposed to being like, oh, well, then I'm fine.
Wow, you stole a friend's baby? Woof.
When I hear angel dust, which is something that I've never come close to encountering in my day.
I never did it either.
I think of, I've never even seen it.
I don't think it's around, is it? Still?
I don't know, but the only reference I have is from Trading Places. When he's very indignant, when he's arrested, he's like, it wasn't heroin, it was angel dust. It was PCP, angel dust.
Yeah, people have pulled out their eyes on PCP.
Yeah, I mean, it seems horrifying, but
I don't want to be in the rooms with those people. Give me a higher class addict.
Oh, God. That's Dan McNeil. Always, when I think of Dan McNeil, I think of high class each and every day.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Brett Hundley. Not Brett Hundley. Huntley. I said Huntley. Huntley is a suburb out northwest. Hundley is the Packers quarterback. I misspoke. I wanted to correct that. I didn't know. I knew it as soon as I said it, too.
If you want to correct yourself, then okay. But, you know, the well-actually texter is not, you know, we all knew what you meant. We all know who you were talking.
Well, still a misspeak. I shouldn't misspeak. Feel free to correct me.
Okay. Fair enough.
Jorge Soler does not have 14 homers, by the way. I want to throw that out. As long as we're correcting ourselves from yesterday, I guess I said he had 14 home runs. It was four. Thanks.
Four. And Mendelsohn is the 14 horse tomorrow in the Derby, not the 19.
We're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, we do.
It's going to be okay. Texters are saying that dinosaurs evolved into birds.
They did. Some of them, yeah. Some of them became extinct. Some evolved into birds.
Right. Did we give off the impression that some of us did not know
that? I said dinosaurs evolved, but I didn't finish the sentence. I didn't think it needed it.
It's a dinosaur.
My favorite moment from today's show. Well, we're hoping that Terry Bowles could top it.
The Jurassic Park?
The Jurassic Park music when you reference Slapshot. It'll be a new theme. If you reference something that the three of us, Tanny, Shep, and myself, do not necessarily reference, we'll hear Jurassic Park.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking for new stuff for the new digital, so I think that could be a thing that I could put there, button one.
Definitely, button one. Nice. We got to transfer over.
So let me get this straight. Anything referenced before the time you guys arrived in the world is dinosaurish?
No, it's not. But as long as we
God forbid I mention some of the movies I've watched that were made in the 30s and 40s. The black and white movies.
Well, Citizen Kane went over so well when you tried to sell that to us earlier.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I should give up. Maybe one day you guys will warm up to it. You'll realize, you know what? There were some good filmmakers before people started blowing up buildings.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah, keep it up.
Give me Con Air again.
Yeah, no question.
Air Force
Die Hard
One.
On.
Oh, boy.
You signed up for it, buddy.
I know.
You did.
First time since March 14th, I said, I used to talk about this stuff pretty fun with Spiegs.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh! Spiegs knows who John Houston was.
Babe, I love John Houston.
but if it's just once in all these shows we've done together, that's not too bad.
No, not at all. Thank you. And feel free, you know, I sometimes think of Speaks fondly, too.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
Do you have Derby plans? Like, are you?
No, that's the bad thing. I've got to invest, and I'll tell you before we're done which horses I'm moving on, and we need to invest, but I'm probably just going to do it online, which is no fun. It's like week one of the NFL season. You want a guy on the other end of the phone. You don't want to punch keys.
Yeah.
I want to hear a guy. Yeah, six in the hook. Total is 39. I want to hear a human being. I'd much rather go to an OTB if I can't actually be at Churchill Downs. I'm going to go see the new Superheroes movie tomorrow with Patrick Likely.
Oh, instead of watching the Derby?
I mean, in the middle of the afternoon, that's going to keep me from getting to an OTB. No, we'll be back in time for the Derby.
Okay, good.
They have matinees in Indiana.
I was going to say, all this talk. I was like, you're not watching the
No,
Derby.
I'm going to. Of course I'm going to watch the Derby. I'm going to cash a ticket tomorrow.
Oh, good. I hope you do. I don't really long for the need to fly to Vegas to go to a sports book or to call, you know, Joe on the other end of the phone for the bookie. The convenience of gambling right there on my phone
I understand. Fine. I can wear it.
He misses the bookie. Joe, is it six in the hook? What do you have it at? I like just being able to pull it up on the smartphone.
Okay, good for you.
It's right there.
I thought you said you like talking to a guy.
We have a guy.
Oh, you have a guy.
That we settle it
all
up
right,
with.
Play the music for Parkins.
No. Listen, I've never even spoken to the guy. It's just a guy. It's a guy that has a site. And so we put it in on the site. And then my buddy settles up for all of us. It's a beautiful system, so I don't even need to interact with the guy.
Picking up the old rotary phone. Yeah. Hello, Vegas. Seven. Ring. Ring. Two. Ring.
Oh, I misdialed. Hang it up. we're going to the Derby next year. I've decided.
I'm taking my wife next year.
She can go.
Yeah. But I would be for a trip with listeners. Easily. I've wanted to do it for years, and we should do it, but Sherry's going with me. I've never taken her.
Steph will go. She's in. She says she looks great in hats, so we'll get her out there.
What woman does it when you think about it? Especially baseball caps. Yes. Backwards? Oh, my.
Yeah, forwards, backwards, sideways, the big Kentucky Derby hat. I'm good with it. Reminds me of when I would.
It really is quite a show. It's a spectacle.
I believe you. It's... What is, people were texting in earlier, the Indy 500. I have pretty much no desire to go to it. I've been to enough car races in my day to know that it's not really my thing. So I don't have that on my bucket list. The Masters is so great on television and it's so exclusive that I can't really see a scenario in which I'm ever invited to Augusta National. But what else is even in that I've done the World Cup. I don't really want to go.
The Rose Bowl. I think a lot of people regard the Rose Bowl as one of those must-get-to events.
Yeah, I've heard it called the granddaddy of them all.
Hmm. Interesting. I've heard it called that, too.
It's but if you're going to the Rose Bowl, leave now. Because I guess that's one of the worst things about it. There's no easy way getting to it.
Yeah.
If kickoff is at 4, leave at 10.
I would want to go to the Rose Bowl in a year that it was a part of the playoff.
Of course.
You know, and not just go to a standard Rose Bowl. And that's
right,
what
right. You wouldn't get out of bed for Iowa and Washington. Are you kidding me?
I can't be bothered with this peasant's New Year's Day bowl game.
Father!
That doesn't have one of the final four teams in college football.
Why is this granddaddy so meaningless?
That is so damn absurd. Like, USC Penn State a couple years ago. Like, that wouldn't have done it for you because they weren't playing for a spot in the national title. Future third overall pick, Sam Darnold leading USC to the comeback.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I got a meaningless Rose Bowl beat, Parkins.
I wouldn't kick it out of the bed.
A meaningless part, worse than that. Sherry and I in, was it December of 04? We went to the California Bowl. I think it was still called the California Bowl in San Diego.
Mm. Anything in San Diego sounds great.
It was Cal. It was Aaron Rodgers against Texas Tech.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Fun game. But a
lot of points.
Yeah, there were a lot of points. I fell in love with J.J. Arrington that day. Remember J.J. Arrington?
Of course.
Oh, was he going to be an NFL star?
Yeah.
Just as much as Darnell Autry was.
So that was okay. I thought there was a next layer to that story.
No, it's like the Rose Bowl. About, is that what you're?
I was saying just talking about meaningless games. I mean, I'm sure that you wouldn't have been interested in that.
Oh, I've been to plenty of meaningless games, man. I went to the Pinstripe Bowl to see Syracuse football.
Well, that's your alma mater. That's different.
That's true. Listen, a bad day at a game is often better than a good day somewhere else. But the flat screen television experience absolutely has made me a little bit of a game elitist. And I'm just saying, the Rose Bowl has had some of the luster taken away.
Sure.
Because of the college football playoffs.
Absolutely.
So when people put it up there with the other bucket list things, like the Super Bowl, I love the week of the Super Bowl. If the Bears were in the Super Bowl, I'd love to be in the stadium. But to me, it's more of a TV event.
It is. But, football in general, for me, should be watched in the armchair. I love my basement on Sundays. I've only been to one Super Bowl. I've covered maybe a dozen of them, being on site the week of for Hype Week on Bacteria Row. Love that. But the only time I ever stayed for the game was Bears and Colts in 07.
Okay. Yeah,
that was worth staying for.
I've only covered one. A couple years ago in Arizona when it was in Phoenix. We did the week of shows out there and then went back to KC in time for the game.
Been to Bacteria Row once?
Yeah.
Really?
It's not in the budget for a lot of stations anymore.
Oh, I know.
Just coming up in this business, Mac. But so, if we can figure out a way, I would love to do Bacteria Row again. I didn't know you called it that.
For years. Worst hygiene in America assembles at the convention center every year in February.
It's awful, but I loved it.
Bunch of sorry SOBs in ill-fitting free clothes.
Yeah. It's a pathetic industry we've chosen.
Is there a speed stick in the house?
Never. There's some audio that you wanted to get to. We'll do it before Terry Bohr's coming up on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now enjoy your winter. Have a good one.
That's my guy, Bill Melton. Melty from NBC Sports Chicago, who was honored last night at the ballpark formerly referred to as U.S. Cellular Field. Parkins calls it Sox Park.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Thank you.
That's what a lot of people always have called it.
Yeah.
Sox Park. So they gave away these bad T-shirts, Bill Melton T-shirts, and I think it's cool that the White Sox honor their players of yesteryear. They've done a really good job with that. That's cool. And I love giveaways. Everybody loves free stuff.
Yeah.
That's what you said in our argument about whether the White Sox could fill the ballpark if they gave away tickets like the A's did.
Cheap is good, free is better.
But whoever's designing these T-shirts the last 2 years, they need to find somebody who is out of grade school and on into middle school or maybe even high school. Because the artwork on the Bill Melton T-shirt was a disaster. Just as the artwork was on the Dick Allen t-shirt last year.
Let the record show, folks. Lawrence and I were just raving about the Bill Melton t-shirt, and we'd love to get our hands on one. Yep.
You know, and that's another thing. I bet they don't have one in your size.
I could rock the XL on the giveaway shirt. I've got
honestly,
a couple at home. Yeah.
See, you know, mostly, most.
No, he's insulting you.
Many of, well, yeah, no,
it is what
saying,
it is. I'm on my way down, so, you know,
he's
no,
at least
no harm.
A two. He's a, I thought he's
two.
Least
I wear
a 2X,
sure, but right. In some of those giveaway, I think they make them a little bigger, like a standard XL, but on the bigger side of XL.
Okay.
Well, I got my Melky Cabrera emoji shirt that I wear quite often.
Well, you know how sports fans are. You get a little older, you gain a little weight, especially when you're sweating with these sticky sticker deke. You get all sweaty in those things, especially if they're snug. That's not a good look. But anyway, I'm glad Bill Melton had his night, and I'm glad he got a carrot cake from Chuck Garfine.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Well, when I think of fashion, I think of Dan McNeil, and so I would posit to you that possibly they are going for the vintage t-shirt look, which is all the rage with the kids these days. You see the t-shirt that Chris Tannehill is wearing right now from the 1988 All-Star game in Chicago, the old Chicago Stadium. He did not purchase that t-shirt in 1988. But it's okay. the remake of the old-looking t-shirt.
Play the Jurassic Park music again.
No.
You guys want to live in 88? That's fine. I want a 2018 t-shirt.
Cowards and Losers.
That's right.
Cowards and Losers living in the past.
That's right.
From Sandy Koufax.
Oh, no, that's the rage these days. But don't you dare talk about a movie that was made before 2000.
No, talk about whatever you want. We're just going to make fun of you.
That's cool. But anyway, Melton joined Jason Benetti and Tom Pachorek in the booth. And they flashed to a photo of former Sox organist Nancy Faust from way, way back. Wow, she was a looker when Melton was playing for the Sox. And she's all over the handsome third baseman in this photo. And this transpired in the conversation with Benetti and Melton.
What do you think of the organ at a baseball game?
Well, we had one.
Yeah.
We used to have one at the stadium all the time. I thought they were beautiful over there.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I thought for hockey. Hockey was big in Chicago when I was here in the 70s. But the organ, I don't think players really pay much attention to that.
Who was the organist here? Here's a player quiz.
Oh, what is this? Oh, is that Nancy Faust?
It is. Sure you paid is. A lot of attention to the organ, evidently, huh?
I did. No, Nancy was...
What a wonderful gal.
She was. Great gal. She was here a long time with the White Sox, but I don't know how we got on that cover. I don't know what it was.
It's a cover of a Chicago Magazine or Chicago Monthly or something like that. Yeah. But I love Benetti chiming in. And it helps better when you actually see the photo because Nancy is all over him.
Oh, is that Nancy Faust?
It is. Sure you paid a lot of attention to the organ, evidently.
Evidently. Because he was smiling. Oh. Melty was known to pay a little bit of attention to that particular instrument as a player.
Oh, was he really?
Yep.
The legend preceded him?
Yes.
In that way?
Yeah.
That's why you looked up to him, right?
Well, that's one of them. Well, I didn't know that at the time. I would find out years later that every now and again, he would just, he'd have an urge and a genie pop out of a bottle for him.
Oh, wow. We should all be so lucky.
That's pretty cool. I mean, if it actually...
That's quite the skin on the wall.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I mean, good for Bill Melton. Now I'm going to get a t-shirt. You're not going to wear the t-shirt?
No, I'm not sure if I can do it, what I want to say.
Oh. This is a new Happy Gilmore. This is a new Dan McNeil. Censorship on the front end. Let's see how this plays out, folks.
I think I could have done Dawn Wells.
You could have?
I think she was Marianne from Gilligan's Island. It was a very popular television show in the 60s and 70s, produced and directed by the great Sherwood Schwartz.
Coming to work is like history class.
Yeah,
all of a sudden.
So I think if I would have gotten her stoned, because she loved weed, I think she might have gotten in the back seat of my SUV.
Oh, really? You think you had a shot?
I think I did.
What were the indicators?
She likes radio guys. Oh. That's a weird thing.
Who does that?
Blind?
Yeah.
We're not an attractive lot.
No.
We are. That's why.
You love Radio Row.
Yeah, we're particularly successful.
I know. So, but she's got a reputation for liking. And she was sat on my lap at the Taste of Chicago. And
wow.
Yeah.
What year was this?
Opportunity lost.
97? Yeah, I was married at the time. So it wasn't going to happen.
Well, then no.
No.
So she's 59 at the time, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Born in 1938.
Right. She was Miss Nevada in 1960, I believe.
How the hell do you know that?
Because I, you know, I do a lot of prep. I do a lot of prep for my interviews, okay? Do I have the right year?
You retain it 20 years later.
Do I have the right year?
I'm still looking.
Chef, okay. He hasn't thought, it's not that he's like the first time thinking about this since 1997. He thought he had a shot. Thinks about this weekly, probably.
I'm not Will Hunting, but I do retain numbers pretty well.
Oh, you're willing to separate yourself from Will Hunting.
Yeah, I am. But no, I mean, I look at something and I retain the numbers. Like the White Sox whip. I looked at it at 6 o'clock this morning, and I could tell you many hours later that it's 1.51, last in the National League.
1959.
59, I was off by a year.
American League.
Huh?
The White Sox whip is probably last in the American
League. It's last in baseball. It's 30th.
Oh. Okay, well, you said National League.
I thought I said league.
And Jorge Soler has a two home run.
It's getting late. Will
Bam Johnson started his own league.
Hey, Terry Bors is standing by. All right, let's move on.
Larry Horse wins for the V Foundation again.
Oh. Good to hear. Go ahead, Mac. Bring on your guy.
Now, I'm waiting to hear Terry do a read and give the telephone number for the Barrett's Home Theater fax machine. Terry Bors is with us on the Score, Sports Radio 670. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right, buddy. How you doing?
I got voice ticking again. Yeah.
You do. You sound all right. Last time I saw you, not so much.
Yeah, it was rough. It's getting there. Hopefully we're out of the woods. Knock on wood, I don't have to have another round of those gel injections. But many years ago, it's probably the first May we did here in 1992, we had your lifelong friend, Mike Downey, the writer, on the show, and you guys were waxing poetic about the Derby, the pageantry, how wonderful it is. Whether you like horses or not, you gotta. And I never bought in. But 13 years later, I tried it, and I went back the next year. And 2 years later, I went back. I've been there 5 or 6 times. You were so on the money with that. It is one of the most special spectacles in all of sports.
Absolutely. Yeah. Would I lie to you? Would Mike Downey and I lie to you about this? I mean, of all the things I covered, heavyweight championship fights, Super Bowls, Olympics, all the stuff. Let me tell you something. And maybe it's just because I've always liked horse racing, but I would sooner go to the Derby than do any of it. Really. I mean, there's just something. First of all, you get out there at 6 in the morning, you're done riding by 8:30. The rest of the day is yours. You know, you're done. There's nothing to be done. That you walk out to the stable, everybody, you know, the guys don't like you, yell at you, and you move on, you write your stuff, and then you have the rest of the day to bet horses, and you get down there like 3 or 4 days beforehand to get a sense of everything and listen to everybody, what they're saying. So, yeah, I mean, I think that and championship fights are the best things. There's something about them, and I'm not the world's greatest boxing fan, but, I mean, when you actually cover one, you want to cover another one, and then cover another one, and then cover another one. It's just that kind of event. And that's the way the Derby's always been. And, you know, there's not much left in horse racing anymore, if you noticed. I mean, they do the Breeders' Cup in November, late October, November, somewhere in there. So, you know, that's a pretty good spectacle, but there's nothing like the Derby.
The Bob Baffert horse, and I got a Baffert story, too, for the class, if time allows. When I wanted to wring my partner's neck in Miami. The Baffert horse.
What did I do?
Justify. Not this partner.
Oh,
Terry,
okay. There's
my
been
partner.
So many.
Yeah, we've been to Miami together. Baffert's horse, Justify, 3-1. And I'm thinking yesterday, why would I want to move on a 3-1? That's not a treat of a payout. And it occurs to me this morning, I'm more than happy to lay the 6.5 with the Packers opening night against the Bears for even money. Why would I not want 3-1 if he's that impressive?
He is. He is that impressive. But here's what, if you're a believer in history, no 3-year-old who did not race as a 2-year-old has won the Derby since 1882.
0-61 since then.
But Terry, yeah. What if this horse is the one to break the trend? So I don't know how much the horse in 1882 should matter for my bet tomorrow.
That's the Apollo, by the way. The horse's name is Apollo. They call it the Apollo Factor. I don't even know what that means, but maybe it's the Apollo Creed. But here's what I think. I think the horse is going to be great. I don't know if he'll be great tomorrow, but I think he's going to be great when you look at him. I made it my point leading up to this, not doing it. Last year I watched it on tape. I watched every prep race to the Derby, every one of them. I'm a glutton for punishment and listen to what everybody was saying just so I'd make a more well-informed bet. And then when you get in the 20-horse field, doesn't matter, could rain, whatever.
it screws you up. But that horse is going to be something special if he stays in one piece. Does that mean I think at 3-1 I would bet him to win the Derby? Probably not. I think there's a lot of speed here. There's a lot of things that could happen to him, lightly raced and so forth. He got out in front of Santa Anita, and they couldn't catch him. Baltimore couldn't chase him all the way down the stretch and really kind of put him away easily. My guy Jerry Bailey, not the least bit impressed. Not impressed with him. Mm. I guess I must be dumb because I was. I was really impressed with him, but I think it's more future than it is right now with him. I mean, maybe he can all I know is that when you look at him, you'll be impressed. I don't know if you've ever seen Norton, but when you look at him, when you see him on the track tomorrow, you'll go, oh, my God, this thing is like something out of a – you could write it down. What should a great horse look like? This is exactly what they should look like. So I just don't think so in this race. I'm not going to go against history.
You still have to have him in a trifecta, though, don't you? Don't you have to have him as part of a combination? You're silly not to, right?
Yeah, you can use him. I mean, I think you've got to look at a few long shots because it just shapes up that way. You know how these things are. Last year was crazy. You got to turn in the mud, and it was awful, and always dreaming of one anyway. And that's who I think is going to win again. I think Pletcher is going to win his second straight Kentucky Derby. You know, it'll be his third overall, but he thinks he needs one. And it's sort of the Todd Fletcher Invitational anyway. He's got four horses. But the horse I like is sitting in the best post position, Audible, number the five horse. So I that's who I like. Now, can he, what kind of trip, who knows? I mean, there's going to be horses, so outside speed horse, it'll be cutting over. Everybody will be flying. You know, it'll be crazy with that many horses. But I still like him a little bit. I think that he's handy enough and smart enough and be well enough ridden to figure out a way to be there at the end without killing him in the beginning, because I don't think Justify can run from anywhere but from the top. That's what I see of him. And if he gets in a speed duel, he's toast. And so is your gimmicks, by the way. So if you want to say to yourself, I think he'll last anyway, even if it's a speed duel, because there's a couple outside horses that are fast. So, I mean, you could really end up with something up front that's going to be incredible, like five or six horses going at one another. Could. I mean, but some of them are ridden by the best jockeys in the world, so maybe not. But I would just say that I like Audible, and I'm going to use Justify a little bit, but not as much as I probably should. I'm with you at 3-1. I don't even know what his odds are currently. But 3-1 on a horse that really hasn't raced that much sounds like a lot, but I think he's going to be great. Jerry Bailey disagrees with me. He didn't think that Santa Anita Derby win was very impressive. I did. I did. The track was slow that day. You're not going to run a world record time when the track is slow. But he put Baltimore, where he's a really good horse, like nothing, like he wasn't even there. So, yes, there's something to that horse. Does that mean he wins tomorrow? No.
So Terry Bors' pick for the Derby is Audible.
Audible.
That's another thing for your national show that you can allude to tomorrow, Parkins.
Oh, God.
Man, your Derby coverage is all wrapped up. You got Eddie Olczyk's pick. You got Brent Musburger. Now you got Terry Bors.
I should do that. I should just replay the content
that's right,
on
done.
CBS Sports Radio. Mail it in. Terry, is it true that Dan McNeil had a shot with Don Wells back in 1997?
Were you at the show we did at the Taste when she sat on my lap?
Yes.
Do you think if I would have been a bad boy that night, based on the way she was acting, I could have had Marianne?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, God.
I think there's a possibility, yeah. I mean, I think there is. Yeah, I remember it. I remember it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's a whole lot of memories that, like, when somebody mentions them to me, I go, holy crap, I almost forgot about that. Until you just said it, because the minute you said the name, I go, oh, I know what he's going to say now. She was hot to trot for the stubby data. She really was.
And the Baffert story, really fast. We're at the Super Bowl in Miami. And, you know, I'm usually a pretty accommodating guy. People want to put on a guest. I'm willing to do it, especially a recognizable big name like Bob Baffert. I thought it was a little odd on the Friday before the Super Bowl, but I'm like, sure, let's make Terry happy and put a horse racing guy on at the end of January. Bob Baffert might have been the most arrogant we ever talked to, and I wrapped up the interview in about 4 minutes. Like, if you got nothing to say, then lose the headphones. One of, I think, three guests I threw off the heavy fuel crew. But I don't remember you being mad at me for giving him the fast
hook. No, he deserved it. And here's the thing. Here's what I don't know, because I'm not around it anymore.
He isn't that way now when you see him interviewed. Now, I don't know how much radio he does, but you're right. He couldn't have been more. He couldn't have been any less interested in talking to us today than he would have been a pole. You
and
know?
You speak his language. You talk to him about things he should have warmed up to.
Yeah, he didn't. But now these days, I mean, he's the one that goes over and sits with the TV guys now. He'll actually go over there and sit. Some will just stand. He'll actually go over there and sit. I saw him do it a couple times already. So I don't know if he's changed or he's finally gotten it, or at just at some point in your career, you haven't learned your lessons about dealing with people, because, you know, you can be him all you want to be. And maybe all this success he's had since then, I mean, you can't get much more historic than Bob Baffert has been. I mean, Todd Pletcher is in that class. You know, there are guys, Aidan O'Brien, the Irish trainer. There's several guys that you say are in that class of the best trainers who ever lived. And Baffert has thrust himself right in there. I mean, he's become that. Maybe he's loosened up a little bit, lightened up, because he's like the go-to guy now. He's the guy they go to immediately. And I'm thinking, God almighty, you should have heard him then. He had nothing to say, didn't want to talk, didn't want to even talk about Horton, didn't want to talk about anything. So I don't know. People can change, don't you think? I mean, I think they can. He seems to have. I mean, but does that mean that if I picked up the phone the morning and said, well, I'm doing a radio show or podcast or something, come on? Well, I don't think he probably would. My guess would be it'd be one of those and get out of here.
Well, we're talking to Terry Bors, and people on the text line are loving hearing your voice, and they're going to get to hear it for a full show when I do when I go on vacation this summer and the Heavy Fuel crew is reunited. You can try to get Bob Baffert on.
No.
We're going to write. You get the Tanny's going to wear out the Jurassic Park theme that week.
That's right. Well, we haven't booked a guest yet. I mean, we just may reminisce for,
you should.
You realize how long it's been since we actually did a show.
And it's a good week to stretch the legs, too. And, Terry has mentioned that, well, it's a dead week. I don't know if I'll know anything about sports. And I'm like, guess what? We're the story that day, fella. We're the story. We don't need baseball games to move the needle.
Well, we shouldn't. I mean, there's certainly been... So let's see. So 1999, almost 20 years. So that'll be fun. Yeah, I look forward to it. And Daddy, you got nothing to worry about. I'm too old, tired, and bad to do this. So don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Okay. And I gave Danny and Speaks nothing but losers last year, and I probably did that again just now. So I want to keep my tradition going of Derby losers. I want to keep that tradition alive for myself.
I know no other kind of bet than a loser, Terry. So it's fine. Terry, it's great to hear from you. We'll talk soon.
All right, my guy said, I will talk to you soon. And Danny, we'll see you. I probably won't see you before July because I'm just so damn busy doing nothing. I don't want to do anything else.
Don't have any more softball injuries, okay? Be in one piece when you get here in July.
I'll be in one piece, my friend. All right, you guys.
Love
Thanks
you.
For having me.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Terry Bors with us here on The Score. Audible, his pick for tomorrow's.
That's the five horse.
For tomorrow's Kentucky. You sure?
Did not come over from Ireland, but if it would have.
On a plane.
It would have done it on a plane. It would have flown.
We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I like that crosstalk.
Crosstalk with Lawrence Holmes, brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. What's up, Lawrence?
I love Spot Hero. It's a lifesaver. It is an absolute lifesaver.
I just started using it, and I was like, where has this been all my life? How am I so late to the party? I've been doing the reads for a year, and I haven't been doing it until like a month ago.
It's a straight-up game changer.
Because
sometimes like you'll need to come downtown for something, and you don't want to – you know, the meters are fine, and I have the app for the meters. But like, if you were to come here, like you said, let's say you had an interview you wanted to record or something – it's like $13 an hour now to park around this building where you could park for 3 or 4 hours
in a garage
for $10.
Yeah.
I'm sure all the people who pay you to endorse their products are just delighted to hear that you can go 11 months without understanding what the product actually does.
This is a segment sponsor.
Oh, that's all it is.
Dan McNeil.
Okay. All
yeah.
Right.
No obligation to actually use these bad boys.
We're not getting paid for it. We just
genuinely use it.
Like the product.
So actually,
that's not an endorsement. Boy, you really are a ball hog.
Do you want to do the? You,
just
you don't have
kidding.
A voice.
I haven't been able to. I know.
That's part of carrying.
I'm just punching
your
dinosaurish ass.
Yeah,
it's doing whatever. Hey, Lawrence is here.
Did I hear giraffe? So what is that? What is that for?
I'm an entitled waffling dinosaur.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know about the entitled part. Doesn't make sense. Wow. That wasn't for me. That was for Jay Leno.
That is harsh.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
But no, harsh.
Wow.
It's going to be the tombstone of the show. We don't know how long it's going to last, but hilarious. But harsh.
Harsh.
Yeah.
So, movies referenced before they got here makes me a dinosaur. But that's cool.
Oh, my God.
That's cool. I get it. I like the dynamic. Oh, not so fast. We got Lawrence in here.
I was going to tell you guys, and I didn't think of it. I was like, don't do crosstalk. Spend 5 more minutes with Terry. People want to hear Terry. They'll hear my idiot show at 6 o'clock. They don't get enough Terry Boers in their life. So it was good to have TB back on the station. Who did he pick?
The Five Horse.
Yeah, Justify.
No, Justify.
No, it's the favorite.
Justify is the Seven Horse, which Eddie Olchek likes.
Can't wait to be an expert tomorrow.
Olchek likes the Seven Horse.
Audible. Omaha.
Terry likes the Five Horse.
Come on, Parkins.
I'm an idiot.
Brent Musburger likes the 14 Horse, Mendelsohn.
So can't you box those or something?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yes. I'm playing the favorite, but I'm not playing him big. I'm going to spray the board like I usually do. I will have Justify probably on every trifecta box I do. I'm keying the 10 horse. My boy Jack is 30-1. Don't be surprised if he's in the money.
Just let me know what we have for the show pot, because I think none of these experts know what they're talking about.
Let's just pull three names, three numbers out of a hat and box them.
Isn't that kind of the fun of the Derby?
Exactly. Yes. I don't care what I have. I just want to have a rooting interest.
I like this one's name. I like the color of these silks. That he looks lovely in turquoise.
Yeah, and then I'll tune in around 5:15, and whatever human interest story they get me with between 5:15 and 5:45, I'll throw in a bet on him there, too. It'll be great. How much time do you have tonight?
40 minutes.
40
Cubs
minutes.
Down in St. Louis. We'll talk about that series. Do White Sox fans want Matt Harvey? What's the risk for Matt Harvey? And had an incredible interview with Thomas Jones last night. It was incredible.
He's great.
So much that there's 10 minutes on the cutting room floor.
Really?
Yeah. It was that good. So I'm going to bring like a little snippet about his relationship with Bears fans. Because I don't know if there's been a player that spent less time but is more beloved than him here.
That's a really good topic. Thomas Jones, the Bears letting him go was one of Jerry Angelo's 10 most egregious mistakes.
Well, I mean,
because they couldn't coexist. What are you talking about? They don't have to.
Well, luckily after that, you end up with Matt Forte. At the end of all of that, you end up with Matt Forte. But it's funny because Thomas talked about him and Cedric Benson in the interview. I mean, it was tremendous. Really, really
looking
good.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Good
thank
to
you,
see
thank
you again.
Oh,
catch you in a week.
Yeah.
See and we'll play Jurassic Park again.
See you next time.
All right, man.
Hopefully Monday.
Wow. Yeah,
fingers crossed. Come on now. Lawrence Holmes is up next. Thanks to Terry Boers. I don't have thank yous.
Brent Musburger. Jeff Passan from Yahoo was with us today.
Mark Grody with the updates.
I was here. I usually remember it.
Shep, Tanny, Mac. We're back on Monday. McNeil and Parkins on the score.
Okay, well, that's about it from yours truly. Thanks for taking all I had to throw at you. I'm spent. But I am now going to make like a banana and split.
He got it.
Okay.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.